Welcome to Pagan Your Paradise podcast number 190 on March 6, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, do consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for all the people around the world interested in pegging. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. And remember, there is a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys, which can be purchased from the little black dress of pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com/RubyRider, and be sure to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. Okay, I have a couple of donations I wanted to give a shout-out to.
Yes.
Vincent sent in $30. Vincent, thank you so much. And James sent in $10. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your generosity. I really appreciate you supporting Pegging Paradise and everything I do. Okay, my favorite toy of the week. My favorite toy of the week this week is Le Wand. I have mentioned the Le Wand before. You know, I've always been a magic wand kind of woman. I need a lot of clitoral vibration to get off. And I've never had the cordless version of the magic wand, but I did go through 3 corded versions over the years. And seriously, the wires pulled out of the base of every one of them. That was how they broke, was the wires pulled out of the base. So I was without a magic wand at the time that I went to a conference where I crossed paths with Alicia from B-Vibe, and she gave me a Le Wand to try out. And I used that toy. After I came up from the conference, I used that toy many times. I don't even know if it had a full charge on it or not. I'm not sure how charged up it was. I believe she gave me a demo model, and so took it home, cleaned it, and used it, and used it, and used it. And I swear to God, I used it many more times on that one charge, whatever the charge was, than I thought I would be able to. I kept expecting it to die, but it took way longer than I would have thought. I talked about it, I believe, on my podcast when I got it from Alicia. I was excited to try it out. And then the mention of the Le Wand came up again when I talked about evacuating from the fire up here. And yes, I grabbed the Le Wand as a last-minute decision. I did indeed. It did not brighten up my evacuation time. It was sort of a strange time to be using a Le Wand in someone else's house where I was hanging out during the evacuation, but interesting that I grabbed it before I left. It was such a traumatic experience, that fire, that it was almost like everything else is feeling so bad. Oh, that's a thing that makes me feel good. I think that was the sort of subconscious thought behind it when I grabbed it. Nonetheless, let me tell you about this thing. It's the basic shape of a magic wand, but it's kind of it looks like a luxury version of it. Here's some of the things that are different. It's got a silicone head, so that means you can sanitize it. No more being concerned about the material that the head is made of. It is soft silicone. It has 10 vibration speeds. All those times that I used it and I was waiting for it to die, I never got it off the first speed. It's a powerful thing. Alicia designed it so that the power goes lower than the magic wand and higher. So it's less intense than the lowest setting in the magic wand and more intense. There are 10 different speeds. Like I say, all that time I kept waiting for it to die, I never got it off the lowest one. It has 20 vibrational patterns. So you're going to see 3 buttons on this thing. And the buttons on either end are lower and higher, and the button in the middle is the vibrational pattern. So, it has a flexible neck, which is cool, because when you press it up against your lady bits, it's nice that it gives a little bit and sort of works with you instead of being a hard, rigid thing. And she says it's splash proof. I haven't had to figure out that at all. I just kind of wash it off with alcohol, no big deal. It is totally rechargeable and wireless, and I'm really happy about that. I just throw it under the pillow and the pillow next to mine on my bed, and nobody knows it's there. It has a travel case that comes with it, and it does have a 1-year warranty. So when I looked at the specs on this thing, I now understand why it took so long for it to die. It has a 3-hour usage time. And it does take 3 hours to charge, so once you have it fully charged up, you can have a 3-hour time to use it. Here's the really cool thing about it that Alicia told me, and this is why I wanted to let it run all the way out of its battery and totally die on me, because a lot of times when you have sex toys that die, you cannot just plug them in and then use them. Whether it's because the connection of that battery charger doesn't facilitate using it at the same time, that's often the case, or it just needs some charge time before it's going to function for you at all. Well, this is designed so the moment you plug this baby in, you can turn it back on. So no worries if you are in the middle of your solo sexy times and it dies. All you have to do is plug it in with a cord that is appreciably long, thank you, and boom, you are back to pleasure land playing with your Le Wand. So thank you, Alicia. That was brilliant. Love it. So I have enjoyed this toy ever since I got it, and that was back in September. I've enjoyed it a lot. Like I said, I evacuated with it, brought it back, enjoyed it some more. I think maybe once or twice since then I've cranked it up a little bit higher, but that was mostly for a situation where it's like, ooh, this porn I'm watching or these thoughts I'm having are really hot and I think I could get off again this time, right? And so the second time's always a little bit harder and takes longer, but if you crank that Le Wand up, you know, and I think I only had to go up like 1 or 2 powers. I have never been on the highest. I don't even know what you would do with that thing. I think I should massage my back or my neck with it. I think that's what I should do. I think it would be really, really good for that. It's a multitasking sex toy. So there you go. The Le Wand by B-Vibe. Thank you, Alicia. Okay, let's get to your letters here. The first one is really sweet. Hi, my name is JP. I'll keep this quick as you probably get thousands of messages at a time. Maybe not thousands, but thanks for that. I wanted to thank you for introducing me to pegging. I had been interested in it for a long time, but around 19, I discovered Pegging Paradise. It was an incredible and positive introduction for me, as well as where I first heard the term pegging. It was also how I discovered FetLife. Since then, I've had several wonderfully fun experiences. Thank you for being a wonderful educator, JP. And this is so awesome because this man is in his late 20s now, without being too specific. And so I thought, wow, he must have found me right when I first started peggingparadise.com, because I started that in 2010. So yay, educating the young people. I'm happy that I was a positive factor in your life for you to find more pleasure and have some fun experiences. Thank you for taking the time to write me. Here's my next letter. Hello, Ruby. Just wanted to drop you a note telling you how much my husband and I enjoy your podcast and your passion for pegging. It's great to see others so enthralled with strapping on and fucking their submissive men. Keep up the great work and look for a story coming soon from my husband and maybe another from myself at some point. You're one of the reasons we got on FetLife and started sharing pictures and videos of our adventures in silicone sodomy. Laugh out loud. Hope your weekend goes well. And this is from Lynn. I had to read this to you guys because I am a wordsmith. I love words, right? Adventures in silicone sodomy. Lynn, I am stealing that. I am totally stealing that. Doesn't that sound like the name of a book of a whole bunch of pegging stories? That's what it sounds like. Adventures in silicone sodomy. I love it. I totally love it. Thank you for taking time to write. We will be looking forward to hearing the stories of you and your husband. Thank you for taking the time to write me. Okay, so we heard back from Javier in Puerto Rico 13 days ago. Javier sent me this message. Hi, Ruby. Today marks the 5th month without power. My community is getting frustrated. We understand all the work is done by the company. Still, the neighborhood where I live is still not energized. The most frustrating of all is that other neighborhoods closer to ours, where they started to work after us, are already with power. I try not to think about it like having power is not the normal, because then I know I will get depressed. It's just awful. My respect and a hug for you, Javier, no power guy from Puerto Rico. Oh, Javier. But then, you guys, good news. 10 days ago, so that was just 3 days after he wrote me this one I just read you. 3 days later, he wrote, Hi, Ruby. And after 5 months and 3 days, I got my power back. So I'm going to play this little celebration song for Javier.
Yes.
And now, I do believe I have another song to play you because it's pegging celebration time. Hi, Ruby. Had quite the evening. Many firsts. Rode a Sibian with the purple knob attachment and had a hands-free orgasm. Riding a Sibian has always been on my bucket list. Also got pegged. It was her first time, too. Not the greatest, but thanks to you, when she told me she had little experience, I knew it might not be mind-blowing, so I wasn't disappointed, and I assured her it was okay, as there is a learning curve. Thank you. The Sibian was fun. I rode it full tilt and was shaking violently when I came. Anyway, I wanted to share this with you, as it's been a long time coming. Ha ha, bad pun. Big hugs, B. B, congratulations to you. Congratulations. Oh my gosh. And I responded and sent a message back to you and congratulated you. And you wrote back again and waxed a little bit more poetic about the Sibian, about it being the most intense anal orgasm you've ever had. So if anybody is interested in riding a Sibian out there, B says you should try it, or at least from B's experience. So yes, I am so happy for you. And also glad that you had some perspective and took it all in stride that the first pegging was not super fantastic. I hope you get a bunch of repeats and you accompany her down the path of that learning curve as she gets better. You will have more and more fun the whole time. Okay, thank you for sending us the great news. Happy for you, B. This is a comment left on my podcast number 112. I have struggled with sharing my desire for pegging with my wife for years. Over time, she's become comfortable with using toys on me, but the harness freaked her out. She would dabble on occasion, but I could tell she wasn't comfortable, so I always felt bad for asking. I came across this podcast and asked her to listen to it with me. It has changed everything. I think all her questions and hindrances were addressed, and having a third party say it made it that much more effective. Now she is comfortable with it, and it has truly felt like a wall has been torn down in our sex life, at least from my perspective. Just wanted to say thank you for putting this out there. Wow, thank you for leaving that comment, and I'm really, really happy that this was the result. Podcast number 112 seems to be pretty good at tearing down the walls. It really does. I've got nothing but good feedback on that podcast, and I'm so happy that it works so well for so many people. And again, for any of you listening for the first time, podcast number 112 is a podcast I recorded for the women. It's in my voice, telling them all about pegging. It is not meant to convince, it's meant to inform. And I have a huge emphasis on the relationship. I talk a lot about your partner just told you about pegging. So let's talk about that and talk about all the different fears you may have and concerns you may have. And then let's talk about also the facts and let's educate you about it. And then you can make your own decision. And through it all, I keep emphasizing that your partner telling you this, it's a gift of intimacy because they've allowed you to know them a little bit deeper and allowed you to know one of the desires that they have that they hadn't felt confident enough to tell you about. So no matter what you decide to do, be grateful for that gift because now you know your partner better. So that's podcast number 112. Of course, I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama. I wish you both lots of happy pegging. Now that she's comfortable with it, thanks for writing in. Here's my next letter. Dear Ruby, I'm surprised to be writing to you. I have certainly been enjoying your past podcasts, but are nowhere near caught up with the present. So I hope I'm not reviewing information available elsewhere on your site. I have been curious about chastity and its effects for some time, but am not ready to be in a keyholder relationship. It doesn't have to be about the control for me, but in whatever my next relationship is, whether it's mostly vanilla or has elements of domination, I would want to focus my sexual energies by self-denial. I found that without a device, it was too easy to edge. So I purchased a bird locked, and it has been on for a full week now. I'm starting to feel the effects of the buildup, both the pleasure and the frustration. I'm setting a goal of 2 weeks, and I know I can make it, but I'm tempted to try and go for 3, even though this is my first time locked. My question is about milking. I know it is highly advised to clear out the system after a couple of weeks, but I do not have anyone right now I would feel right asking for assistance. That time may eventually come, but I'm going solo with this. I'm thinking that I might milk myself, but have never done it, and I'm not sure of the right equipment. I'm looking at the Aneros self-massagers, both manual and battery-operated. The Maximus says that it is only 1 inch in diameter. Is that right? I have taken a 1.25-inch dildo and plug fairly well, and have trouble with the 1.5-inch plug. 1 inch sounds very manageable. Can you recommend a massager that would allow me to do this for myself without too much strenuous trouble? And this is from Michael. Michael, thanks for the question, and I am excited for you in your exploration of chastity, and I'm also intrigued by your intention to focus your sexual energies by self-denial. I have heard about this before. I watched a movie about it. It's an ancient movie that you might be able to find somewhere on the internet called Bliss, and Terrence Stamp was in it, and there was a part of it talking about not letting yourself come. And there is a belief if you let sperm out of your body, you are losing your sexual energy. And that if you prevent yourself from having ejaculations, you focus that energy more. And I'm not saying it very well, but I think this is what you're talking about. And so it intrigues me because I have heard of it and I think it's awesome. So, okay, more information about this. First of all, one of the things you mentioned in the very first of your letter is that you hope you're not reviewing information available elsewhere. You know, when you read through my blog and you listen to all the podcasts, so many things get repeated so many times, and it's really okay because I always have new listeners and they hear this information as if it's for the first time. So it's no problem. Don't ever worry about that. Just throw those questions at me. So now let's go to the other part about the milking. So here is my thoughts. And, you know, again, I don't have a prostate, but I do know from listening to you guys that you all sort of orgasm differently. And what I mean by that is some guys can take a prostate massage device that vibrates, put it in there, and have an orgasm. And this is not what you want. Sometimes that orgasm will be ejaculatory and sometimes it won't. But what I'm thinking is that you want a rigid device that you can put in there and kind of drag is too intense of a word. You can stroke your prostate with it. You don't want to drag it across it. You stroke your prostate with it. And in doing so, what that does is it causes that prostatic fluid to come out. And I'm thinking that the best toy for this would probably be a Pure Wand, an Enjoy Pure Wand. And the smaller end of the Pure Wand, it has two ends on it. So the smaller end of the Pure Wand is 1 inch in diameter, just like the Aneros that you were thinking about, and the larger is 1.5. But I'm thinking that the Pure Wand is a good toy for you because it's curved perfectly. It's really good for solo use. It's curved exactly the right way for it to be easy for you to use. And I'm thinking that as you stroke that across the prostate, you know, coming down at the back end of it, so to speak, and pulling it forward out of your ass, that milking action is going to really help you get rid of the fluids in there. I guess the balance that I'm thinking about here is the difference between milking and doing something that could potentially give you an orgasm. So that's why I'm suggesting a toy that you can control yourself. It's easy to hold in your hand to control. One that doesn't vibrate, because the vibrations, I think, may cause an orgasm. And any of you guys out there that do both milking and are able to have a prostate orgasm fairly easily, like with vibrations or things, or even with a Pure Wand, let us know the difference. Write in and give me some descriptors of differentiation, if you would, because I'm just going by what I have heard other guys talk about. I think that would be the best toy for you. And it's also this lovely piece of stainless steel that works equally well for G-spots. It's an amazing, amazing toy. It gets rave reviews all the time. So that would be my best recommendation for you, Michael. Have fun with that and let us know how that goes. I am curious about your path of focusing your sexual energies. That intrigues me very much. Okay, thanks for writing in. Here's my next letter. Hi, Ruby. As always, I hope you're doing well. My wife and I engage in anal play, me on the receiving end, on a very limited basis. It's definitely not her favorite act. She's quite the anal phobe, so it's usually reserved for special occasions, i.e., it's basically replaced cake as my official birthday or anniversary treat. I fantasize about this during masturbation all the time, but have incorporated it only on a few occasions. Something I've noticed is that when my wife is providing stimulation with her fingers or our silicone dildo, I experience immense pleasure up to and during the climax. But when I've used the toy on my own, I experience pleasure in my ass when thrusting, but the orgasm feels almost numb and the satisfaction is more of a psychological itch scratching than physical. Have you heard of such a thing, and can anything be done to allow myself a more pleasurable anal experience on my own? All the best, Steve. Steve, that is fascinating to me. You know, a lot of sexual play is so psychological that it's not surprising to me that you actually have more pleasure when she's doing it to you, just because it's so exciting. But also a factor in that might be that you are able to totally relax and allow her to do the giving, so you're not having to actually make the toy move. Now, none of that would potentially explain sensory differences, clearly, but the psychological differences and the lack of being able to completely relax may be big factors there. The only thing I can suggest is to crank up the stimulation for toys that you use on yourself. Get something that vibrates, perhaps. Lalo makes two different prostate massagers that you can use on yourself. The Loki is a prostate massager that is amazing by Lalo, and it is anal safe, it's silicone, it has different speeds, it has a vibrator in the tip of it to massage your prostate, and it's an awesome toy. They take it up a notch with the Loki Wave because it has another little finger, if you will, that is supposed to go on your taint, and basically the whole toy actually moves. So the bigger part of it that's in your ass kind of moves back and forth by itself while you're holding it. It has an action of basically massaging the prostate. It's pretty amazing. And that also has all kinds of different vibrational patterns and stuff like that. So those two toys would probably be excellent choices just to crank up that whole sensory experience for you and see if you can kick over into it feeling amazing again. That's what I would recommend, is just to increase the stimulation so that it sort of overrides the potential distraction of not having someone do it to you and the potential psychological letdown of not having your wife do it to you. So I'm going to put the link to both of those toys in the Linkgram. And by the way, I've talked about a bunch of toys. Clearly, I'm going to put the LaWand in there, and I'm also going to put the Pure Wand in the Linkorama too. It will be a toy-filled Linkorama this time. All right. thank you for writing in. I hope that solves the problem. And I'm wondering if your wife has listened to podcast number 112, because that might change things. You never know. The way you've described it is that you seem to have reconciled yourself to, I get it every once in a while, a couple of times a year, and it's better than nothing. But who knows? If she listened to podcast number 112, that might change things, like the guy who I read his letter earlier. So you might want to give it a try, and you will find that in the Linkorama, podcast number 112. Good luck to you, sir. I hope you have lots and lots of wonderful solo prostate orgasms in your future. Thanks for writing in. Okay, here's another letter. I know this has been asked before, but I couldn't find it on my phone app. I'm looking to upgrade my wife's harness, which is cheap, to a spare parts one. Which models of theirs did you say have pouches for vibes to help increase her pleasure? Thanks for all you do, One Ball Wonder. We've heard from One Ball Wonder before. Okay, so, Mr. One Ball Wonder, all of them have pouches for the vibes except for the Deuce, which is actually made for a man. So, every single one of the ones that they sell have the pouches. And the way that those pockets are situated is there's one pocket for the mini vibe that goes horizontal across the top of the opening for the dildo. And then there's also one underneath the opening for the dildo that goes vertical. You know, you could put mini vibes in both of them. The only thing I might suggest is if you have my favorite mini vibe, which is the Wee Vibe Tango. If you put it on the horizontal one up top, it might not fit between her legs. It really depends. So experiment with that. But yes, every one of them, the Tomboy, the Sasha, the Bella, the Jacques, they all have those pockets. So enjoy and let us know how you like it. Thanks for the question. And my next letter. Okay. Don't really know where to start, so I'll start at the beginning. We have been married for almost 2 years, and about 8 months into our marriage, he asked if I would play with his ass. I was a little surprised by the request, but must say, I was turned on. We have done that a few times. We visit adult stores together and buy new things all the time. One of our last visits, he bought me a glass dildo, which I love. After we played a few times with it, he asked if he could get one for him. Now, up till now, we had played a little, but he admitted to doing it a lot while he was doing self-play. I was so excited to get him one, but I have never pegged, and I'm scared, really. I also don't want to lose being the sub in the bedroom. First of all, I would suggest that you go listen to podcast number 112, because that will give you lots of information about what pegging is and what it isn't. And I'm thrilled that you're turned on by the idea. I'm thrilled that you're totally on board for experimenting with this and exploring the world of pegging with him. So know that the learning curve is a little bit steep, so it's good to learn a bunch of stuff and educate yourself. And if you'd like to do that on a webinar, at the end of this podcast, I'm going to be announcing my first webinar. Woohoo! So you're welcome to join in that, and I'm going to have those regularly in the future. One of the things that popped out at me, though, was that you said you didn't want to stop being the sub in the bedroom. You don't have to stop being the sub. You don't have to be dominant to peg your husband. He has to receive and you have to give, so you will be the active person when you peg him, but that doesn't mean you're dominant by any means. And he will need to be vulnerable because anal penetration requires vulnerability, but that doesn't mean he necessarily loses his dominance either. When people are in dominant-submissive relationships, I never really know to what extent they mean that. It could be that he's just always the one that runs the fuck, but it's more vanilla than anything else, or it could be full-on BDSM, where there's ropes and nipple clamps and gags and blindfolds and all kinds of things. So let me run a couple of ideas by you. He could actually tie you to the bed while you're wearing the harness and the dildo, and he could ride that dildo. You're definitely not being dominant in that situation. You're absolutely being submissive. Or he could have a leash and a collar around your neck, and he could be holding onto that leash. You're behind him doggy style, and he's pulling on that leash and making you fuck him in that pattern, with that rhythm, so to speak. So there's another idea. So I suspect that feeling like you have to run the fuck and be in charge of things could be a little overwhelming if you're used to being submissive. So another idea is talk to him about it and tell him, look, I want to keep being submissive, so I'm going to take orders from you, and I'm going to take direction from you. Encourage him to be a teacher. Encourage him to tell you how to do this and how he likes it best and what to do when, and just basically be the teacher and be the guide and be the person who dictates how the whole thing will go. That's another way for it to happen as well. So that would be my suggestion to not losing that feeling of being the sub in the bedroom. What really needs to happen is you two need to sit down and have a conversation about this, because even though you don't want to step out of that sub role in the bedroom, it is quite possible that he would like to step out of the dominant role for just a little bit, and maybe not to the point of being submissive, maybe just to the point of not running things, not running the show, being vulnerable, receiving, relaxing, that kind of thing. So you need to have a conversation about it, because I can't read his mind, and I can give you all this advice on how to maintain your submissive feelings of what, you know, how things go. But if he would like to step out of that dominance, that may not work. So yeah, you need to have a conversation about this part of it and just let him know that that's one of the things you're concerned about. And so you two need to figure out how that would be incorporated into your relationship, how often you might be doing it, and that kind of thing. But please don't fall for the BS about, oh, if you peg him, you'll never see him the same again, and he'll lose his masculinity, and blah, blah, blah. That's a bunch of fucking bullshit. So it is totally fine to receive anal penetration and have awesome orgasms and get pegged and still be dominant as fuck, okay? So just take my word for that one. But please do talk with him about this, because I can only advise you, and I might be advising you in the wrong direction to what he would really like. It's great to sit down and talk about how something will look with your partner when you're exploring new territory, because then you know you're on the same page and you can address any concerns beforehand, and especially after you listen to podcast number 112, and maybe he might want to listen to it with you. It sounds like he is experienced in anal play, so this is a great thing. I'm excited to see where this goes. So I hope this information helps. Go listen to podcast number 112. Join the webinar if you like in the future. And if you have any more questions, please send them my way. Education is a fabulous thing when you're stepping off down the path of pegging. I'm going to put some links to some articles in the Linkorama for you, three of them. The first one is Your First Exploration of His Ass. So this is basically a step-by-step thing to do some beginning ass play with him. And you may have already played around with that, but I think it'll be good information for you. The next one is called The First Time, Take It Slow. And that one will give you some really detailed step-by-step instructions of how to get from point A to point B and things like that. And then there's also going to be another link in the Linkorama from a previous letter, which is podcast 102, and that's equipment selection. Because at some point in time, you guys are going to need to do that. And it didn't sound like you'd chosen anything yet, so that would be a good thing to listen to as well. And the webinar sign-up is going to be on the blog as well. I hope I have given you some reassurance and a few action items to do so that you feel like you are setting off down that path and are more confident in your future explorations. I wish you both the best, and please do write in and let us know when it happens, because there's celebratory music I play every time the couple crosses that threshold. I'm excited for you. Thanks for writing in, Meg. Okay, here is another letter. This one came in my forum. Hi, it was such a huge relief when I found this site about 6 months ago. I've been interested in anal play almost as long as I've been figuring out my sexuality. Over time, my desires and interests in cross-dressing and pegging have grown. I'm a happily married man, and I'm not looking for that to change, but have been living with this secret for a long time. I worked up the confidence to share my desires to be pegged with my wife about 4 months ago, and I mentioned my interest in women's clothes, too. To her credit, she was very receptive and didn't seem too scared off. It felt like a good start, but we haven't talked much more since. I have a couple of pieces of women's clothing hidden about the house, and a couple of favorite plugs and a dildo that get occasional use when I find I have time to myself to indulge the fantasy. I've been thankful for the podcasts and some posts here that have helped me feel like I'm not the only one trying to figure this all out, and also to hear that my desires can fit into a heterosexual relationship. Today, I decided to register for the site because I decided I wanted to say these things out loud and not just keep living in my head. I don't know what is next, but I know I want to explore this side of myself that I have kept hidden for a very long time that gives me a great amount of pleasure. I look forward to being a part of this community. Wow, yay, and thank you for writing that down, for saying it out loud, so to speak, for putting it out there. I celebrate you and your desires and your desire to explore what gives you such great pleasure. I would suggest right off the bat that you have your wife listen to podcast number 112. This is like a repeat recording practically on this podcast, but I think it would help her understand what you like and why you like it. I think it may ease any fears she might have, because if it felt like a good start and then you haven't talked about it more since, it could be a couple of things. It could be that she has concerns, but she's a little bit too scared to voice them. And it could be that you're also shy about voicing your own desires. I suspect that that part might be true because you mentioned how you've never really talked about this out loud. I really do celebrate you for writing that down and saying it out loud, because that's a powerful thing to do. It's an awesome thing to do. And to try and get you guys in the same place where you're both really excited about exploring this whole pegging thing together, I think we'll start with her listening to podcast number 112, and then you guys can talk about the various things that it says on there, any concerns she might have, that kind of thing. And you can start talking about equipment and what she might like and find something really beautiful for her. And please do remember that amidst all of this, you need to be taking care of her sexually like you have never taken care of her before. You want to satisfy her needs, rock her world until she's a trembling little pile of pleasure. And she will be so motivated to do whatever it is you want, more than likely. So make sure that is part of the equation. And also make sure that the communication that you are offering is a clean communication, that there's no blaming, shaming, that there's no resentment, there's no sniping, that it is an open and accepting and clean communication that you have with her, the best you can manage that. Because that's where it all starts. That's what frees up the inclinations to really speak your deepest stuff with each other, is when you know that you have a partner that's going to be accepting no matter what, that's going to be non-judgmental no matter what, that if they have a reaction, will pull back and say, you know what, I need a little time to think about that. Let me get back to you. And that will come back to you and talk some more about it. So all of those factors figure in. Sometimes it's just not as simple as I told her about this thing and now she hasn't done it. There are many factors in there that determine whether or not she wants to do it, whether she has fears, whether she has time, helping her with housework. If you guys have kids, see, there's so many factors. So try and consider the whole thing. Do the best you can. Have her listen to podcast number 112 and see where that goes. Thanks for posting on my forum, and I hope that pegging path that you are walking down with your wife is filled with excitement and pleasure and thrills and lots of good times. If you have any other questions, please do not hesitate to throw them my way. Here's my next letter. I'm a 63-year-old native male who recently got back together with my wife. She didn't go anywhere, but after 25 years of kids and parenting, we are spending a lot of physical time together now. I know, way overdue. To cut to the chase, she's not interested in penises, and I'm done forever making babies. A key word for her is control, and for me, my prostate. I mentioned pegging, and after some thought, she likes the idea. I have a few prostate massagers and want to get something I can wear out. My question is, can you recommend a hardware setup that she can use? So this is so interesting, sir. When you wrote in, it's kind of like, I came across that sentence, I have a few prostate massagers and want to get something I can wear out. Does that mean wear out, like use it so often that you just wear it out? Or does that mean something that you wear out to dinner, to parties, to the grocery store? You know what I mean? So I'm not really sure. So I'm going to answer both of those questions. So here's the deal. You said her word is control. Well, awesome, because control fits in really well with pegging. It's awesome to be in control of giving someone that much pleasure, to be in control of how deep, how hard, you know, all those different things. Yes, she will enjoy the control that pegging offers. Definitely. And you had a bit of a typo in your sentence saying, to cut to the chase, she's not interested in penises and I'm done for something making babies. Pretty sure that means you're done forever making babies. So you probably had a vasectomy, perhaps. Don't know if there's any ED happening or not. But if she's not interested in penises, then you would like to be able to do the pegging thing because clearly that can bring you a ton of pleasure. And if you do not have ED, then you're going to be jerking yourself off while she's pegging you, or you might even have a hands-free orgasm. Yes, that would be very, very cool. So I see how, yes, your focus is the prostate and hers is the control. So let's go back to that question about wanting to get something you can wear out. Well, if you want something you can wear out, like use it so often that you wear it out all the time, then what you want to do is go to podcast number 102, which is the equipment podcast. There are many, many decisions to be made when you buy equipment. And listening to that podcast number 102 will basically help you decide each one. That's the first place to start, if that's what your question is. And then after you listen to that podcast, you'll know more what you're looking for. You'll know more what you need. And there are even some things that need to be done. Like, for example, one of the things it talks about in the podcast is how sensitive of a prostate do you have? Because if you don't have a very sensitive prostate and you really like very firm prostate pleasure, then you're going to want to get a toy that is more firm, that is curved, so you can target your prostate pretty intensely. But you wouldn't want to get that if you have a really sensitive prostate. And she can help you figure that out by putting fingers in there and stroking it really lightly, kind of medium, and then really hard. And I've used the car metaphor. Some guys like a drive-by, some guys like a side swipe on their prostate, and some guys like the fucking head-on, right on the prostate. Curved, firm toy, really love it, really need it. So you wouldn't want to get a toy that is not aligned with how sensitive your prostate is. And that's just one example of something to consider when you get equipment. And there are too many to just say, hey, here's the best equipment. So if you're asking about what's the best equipment that you can use so often that you're going to wear it out, that's what you need to do first is go to podcast number 102, listen to that, and get back to me. If you are asking for something you can wear out, well, that lines up perfectly with what I love to talk about, which is like those remote control vibrating butt plugs that you can wear out in public. Specifically, the Jeju Nuo, which can be operated at distance with a phone app, right? You can be sitting there at dinner with her, she can use it. And you know, it doesn't have to be out in terms of out of your house either. It could be right there having dinner with you. It is a lot of control. It's a delicious amount of control that I think she would really enjoy because you've got that button in your finger right there and you can give him pleasure or not, whether he's a good boy or not. I don't know what other things figure in with your sexy times, but that would definitely be a toy I think you two could have a lot of fun with. And the other would be the one I talked about last week, which is the triplet anal beads butt plug from B-Vibe. That has a remote as well. It does not have a phone app, so she would have to be at least 30 feet from you to turn it on, which could be really, really fun. And she could sit back in a chair sipping her champagne, turning this thing on and off and ordering you to jerk off. I mean, see, I have lots of ideas when it comes to control. I'm going to put the link for those two toys in the Linkorama in case that is the type of question you were asking. And then we go from there. I hope I answered your questions correctly. I was floundering a bit just because of a typo and not understanding exactly the way you asked the question, but I think I got it. So if I didn't, please write back and tell me what you were really asking. And thank you so much for writing in. And you know what? Before I sign off, I want to say good on you for reconnecting after 25 years. Well done, you two. And now we have another pegging celebration time. My girlfriend told me she was interested in using a strap-on on me. Lately, we've been doing a lot of experimenting with kink and have been having a lot of fun, so I was willing to try it. We looked into how to get started, including the advice we found on your website, and eased into it by using a plug until I was comfortable. Last night, we decided to go for it. My girlfriend wore her strap-on all evening, even under her dress when we went to dinner, which was great. When the moment of truth came, I had no problem when she penetrated me, but it started to hurt during thrusting, especially when the dildo was all the way in me. Will it get easier with practice? Also, we knew it would be messy, but afterwards I leaked a little out of my anus. Dumb question. Is there a risk of me losing control of my bowels? If so, it is a good thing I have a thing for diapers. Well, first of all, congratulations. Because you did the pegging for first time, which is why I play the music for you guys. Not all first-time peggings go perfectly. Sometimes they're a little like, whoa, and a few things happened with you that were like, whoa. But still, congratulations. Music time, celebration time, well done. So, to go down your list of questions, here's the deal. It started to hurt during thrusting. Here is what I think was happening there. What it sounds like is she was thrusting deep into you. And when that happens, and you do it kind of forcefully, if you will, or with a certain amount of oomph behind it, if the dildo is longer, or if your rectal canal is a little shorter, what happens is you can come up against what feels like bottoming out, and it's very uncomfortable most of the time for most men. Unless you have a lot of experience having a longer dildo pushed in and out of you a lot, most men can't take really intense thrusting against that sphincter that's at the end of the rectal canal. That sphincter, Hirsch's sphincter, is the one that allows excrement to come out of the colon into the rectal canal periodically, and then you have to go and you vacate your bowels, and there you go. So, when you have a dildo pushing all the way in there, if it's a longer one, or if you're both slender and you have one that's decently long, it's not too difficult to kind of bottom out. And this is why there are toys made that are shorter, so that if you really want to hammer in there, you're never going to get to the end of that rectal canal where that sphincter is, because it can be touchy. It doesn't hurt it if you go through it slowly. You can do that with the ultra-long toys, but it can be very uncomfortable, just like you describe, if you are thrusting deep and just kind of to the hilt, if you will, and you don't have a whole lot of practice with it. So, yes, it will get better with practice, but what I would suggest is that she doesn't go to the hilt, that she doesn't go balls deep, basically, and she takes a little bit more care with her thrusting, because it sounds like she's bottoming out against that sphincter. So, let's see, you say you knew it would be messy, but afterwards you leaked a little out of your anus, so you don't mention anything about how you prepared. If you prepared with an enema and you didn't wait 2 hours before, people who like to do enemas before pegging, I recommend they do it at least 2 hours before sexy times, because a little bit of water tends to get caught in the folds of the colon, and then as you move around, that water comes out and you vacate a little bit again. Well, you don't want that coming out in sexy times, so the worst thing to do is do an enema right before you do sexy times, because then you're going to have a little bit of leaking. And you kind of can't stop it from coming out. It comes out. So that might be part of it. It might be the lube that you used. If you used a lube that has glycerin in it, it might have provoked a sort of suppository effect, because glycerin can have that effect. And so then you had a little bit of liquid coming out because of that. See, I don't know what you did to clean, but the most important part of that question is not that there was a little bit of a mess, but you are seriously thinking, is there a risk of you losing control of your bowels? No, there isn't. You know, of course there is if you take humongously wide things and tear your anal sphincter and do stupid shit. But I'm going to put a link for you to an article that you need to read to calm any concerns you have in that regard. because as long as you follow all the safety rules, and the safety rules are this: not too fast, not too big, lots of lube, nothing sharp, and you never use any kind of numbing lube ever, ever, ever. And so, you know, what's too big? Well, if you're beginners, you're not using anything too big, but you have to really be careful about the not going too fast. You have to take things really, really slow, and I talk about that a lot. But the physiology of that area, the specific physiology of it, is two concentric sphincters, one inside the other, not one in front of the other, but one inside the other. So the larger one is made of smooth muscle, and that sphincter can stretch long, long ways and then come back. We've seen the videos. The videos, on porn, places where guys are taking humongous dildos up their ass. Okay, so you can do that, and guys who do that say it's a little loose for a day or two, but that's extremes, okay? That smooth muscle will go back to its regular size, no problem, right? And so you're wondering, what is the measure? Well, I have my own measure. Different people have their measures because anal fisting is a thing. People do it. And those people do not have fecal incontinence. That's the technical word for what you're wondering about. Can you ruin your ass forever doing this? Well, if you do anything big enough or fast enough or the wrong way or something sharp, you can screw everything up. But if you follow all those safety rules and you have a limit as to how big of a toy you're going to use, you're going to be fine. Dan Savage likes to say, if fecal incontinence was a thing from getting fucked in the ass too much, in the gay neighborhoods of San Francisco, they would be selling lots of Depends and the little mini marts, and they don't, which I've always thought was kind of amusing and accurate. So the whole point is that larger sphincter is going to come back to normal. It's going to be no problem at all. The inner sphincter is actually made of involuntary muscle tissue, and that can only stretch so far before you render it ineffective. Now, that sounds really scary, but don't freak out, because keep listening. Anybody who has had a couple of bouts of bad constipation and passed a bowel movement about twice as big as normal has already done as much damage as you can pretty much do to that inner sphincter. So what it seems to be there for is to control gases and liquids. If you have liquid bowel movements all the time, you've got much bigger problems to worry about than talking about, is pegging going to screw things up? And the gas, yeah, I have had guys write me and say, you know, the next morning after she pegged me, I could fart easier, which is actually true. But even if you render this sphincter completely ineffective anymore, it just doesn't, inoperative, whatever, that bigger sphincter completely takes up for it. It is surrounded by other large groups of muscles that completely compensate. This is not an unusual thing. Like I say, most people who have had a couple of bad bouts of constipation have already done as much damage as can be done, because you've already sort of torn that tissue, if you will. So not to worry about it, but just make sure you take things really, really slow. And also make sure that you're not horribly altered when you do the pegging thing. Sometimes people get nervous about it, whether they're the giver or the receiver, and they tend to imbibe or indulge in what have you. And, you know, make sure you're mostly there. I can see having a drink or something or a smoke to kind of calm you down a little bit, but don't get blasted. And the reason I say that is because you can find stories on the internet about horrendous things happening and people having to have anal surgery and blah, blah, blah. And these are usually the stories that people point to when they're trying to scare you out of doing this. It's the fear tactic stuff. It's the taboo. It's the blah, blah, blah. Well, if you take a look at those stories, you will find that they all have something in common, and that's the people were horribly altered. They're usually drug and or alcohol fueled. So let that be a warning to you. Definitely let that be a warning, but no, you're going to be totally fine. There is not a risk of you losing control of your bowels. However, if you really enjoy diapers, rock on with the diapers, because they can be a fun thing for a lot of people, and you don't need to have a loss of control of your bowels from pegging to enjoy those diapers. Just rock on with the diapers. And thank you for writing in. I hope I've answered all your questions. This next one is a quick mention. I was having a conversation with a listener, and we were talking about how pegging is becoming more mainstream. And I sent him the link to the Ryan Reynolds clip. And this is a clip of Ryan Reynolds, who was in Deadpool. And there was a pegging scene in Deadpool that he kind of made famous because it was National Women's Day. There was this montage of he and his girlfriend fucking and doing all kinds of different sexy things at different times, you know, lots of different episodes. And this was, you know, happy National Women's Day or whatever. Happy International Women's Day, I think she said. And she's fucking him with a strap on, you can tell. So anyway, the clip is actually an interview. And the interview, I have marked the point where the interviewer asks him, what was the most difficult scene to film in Deadpool? And somebody yells out, the strap-on scene. And he goes, oh, well, no, that was a little uncomfortable, but I've done that before. And he just tosses it off just like that. I've done that before. He makes it sound so normal. So, yay, Ryan Reynolds, you rascal. You know, I don't know whether he said that just to say it or if he actually has experience with pegging, but I thought that was pretty darn cool. So I sent him the link and said, yeah, it is becoming more mainstream. Check this out. And I'll have that in the Linkorama for anybody who wants to see it. And he wrote back and said this. Thank you for the link. Very encouraging. There will come a time when women should become more forthcoming about their need to peg, and more men would happily comply if only out of curiosity. As you may be aware, I am still an ass virgin, but have spoken to quite a few women who are regular peggers, and I have learned so much from each of them. One woman said that the problem with many guys is that once they learn to love pegging, they then demand pegging almost to the exclusion of all else. She said it's like dating a guy who tells you he only drinks red wine. And this is from Peter. So, Peter, here's the deal that I talk to everybody about regarding that. This is like this myth of if I fuck him in the ass, that's all he's ever going to want ever. Okay, here's the truth part of that. Combination of prostate and penile stimulation can provide many men, most men, with an orgasm roughly 10 times as powerful as a normal orgasm. That's a lot of motivation, and that's pretty fucking exciting. 10 times as powerful. So you can see where someone would get pretty enthralled with having orgasms 10 times as powerful and maybe want to do it all the time. So does it happen? Occasionally, yes. But in a relationship, you work these things out. And what you do is say, okay, so it's not okay if we do this all the time. So what we're going to do is we're going to schedule it. And I have advised this many, many times. Here's the solution to that issue. Should it come up in a relationship or should it even feel like it's going that way? It's great to schedule pegging times, partly because that way the guy knows he's going to get pegged at a certain time and he doesn't have to keep asking for it. And she doesn't have to keep dreading that he might ask for it because she's wanting some regular sex too or whatever else it is she likes. And you schedule it also because that way he has a chance to clean up because he knows it's coming and the preparation is expected. And also you can, it's not just like, okay, he knows it's coming and plus he'll be able to clean out. You can have fun with that concept and you can text each other and sext each other and talk about, I'm going to fuck your ass tonight so bad or so good or whatever. You get my point. You can have fun with it and talk about it and text and flirt and be playful with it. And it's scheduled. And that way, the rest of the time, she knows he's not going to come to bed going, will you peg me tonight? And he knows that he's going to get it. And he knows when even. So it really settles things down on both sides of the equation. So it's not a do or die thing where like, okay, once a guy wants it to the exclusion of everything else, we're fucking screwed. So that's what you do in a situation when a guy demands pegging and to the exclusion of all sex. And demand is an interesting word. It doesn't exist too much in that direction in my world. No guy demands to be pegged. No, it's just not like that. And I would hope that in regular relationships, it's not that way either. You talk about what you want together. You don't demand it from each other. And I did take note that in your message, Peter, in the beginning you said, there will come a time when women should become more forthcoming. Don't should people. Do not should people. There will come a time when women will become more forthcoming about their need to peg. Yes, I think women will become more open about enjoying that. Absolutely. And I like red wine, I gotta say. And I don't know, if I dated a guy who said he only drinks red wine, that'd be fine with me as long as he loves it. But having a larger repertoire sexually would be much more important to me than a guy who only drinks red wine. Anyway, Peter, thank you for writing in. All right, here's another one. Thanks for all your insights. I'm hoping you have an idea or two for my wife and I on this one. We really enjoy a couple of double-ended dildos that we've purchased in the past year, but I'm curious if we can find a harness that can replicate the double enjoyment we've found with these toys, but using individual dildos to customize our pegging a bit more. The double-sided market for pegging seems to be pretty stuck in the 4 to 7 inch length area. So are there harnesses that we could use that she could strap on a larger dildo, but that would also have another O-ring that could hold another dildo for her? Okay, so here's the skinny on that. Recently, Fuse Dildos came out with a new line of dildos that have suction cup bottoms. They're pretty cool. Most of them are not long enough for my taste, and some of them are a little too thin, but there's some nice toys that they have. But one of the things they said is that if you put two together with the suction cup bottoms, you can pretty much have a custom double ender. And I thought, whoa. And then you send in this question, so it was pretty trippy to get this question from you. What I did was, when I saw that, I went to my collection, because I got a collection of dildos, and I put together two Blush Novelty Real Nude dildos. I have everything from the Ergo Mini all the way up to the Sumo, and I have the Rolo, and I put two of those together. And man, I am a very strong woman, and I pulled and pulled, and I couldn't get those suckers apart. You know, I tried to mimic sort of the motion that it would be of pegging, and it stuck really, really well. So my point is, just put two together and have the bases underneath the harness, and all you're going to need is one ring. You don't need another ring to keep the other one in. So presto changeo, suction cup dildos save the day. Give it a try. I'm going to link to those Real Nude dildos, and those are all dual density as well. But there is a large range of sizes, and they definitely go beyond the 4 to 7 inch range. Thanks for the question. Okay, two more announcements to end the podcast. First is that I have set up a 24/7 chat room for my patrons on Patreon. And I've been asked about having a chat room before, and I decided that I was going to do it through Patreon on Discord. They have an interface with that. And so it is a 24/7 text chat room, and all you need to do is to join and be a patron for $1 a month to join that chat place. I come in and out, and so does everybody else, and we have little conversations ongoing, and it's pretty cool. And mostly, I think it's really, really cool because you know that everybody there is interested in pegging. You're not going to be judged. You're going to be accepted, and we're just there to talk about stuff, get to know each other, have a good time in a place that's completely non-judgmental and full of all kinds of personal experiences and knowledge about pegging and all of the things that go with it. So it's pretty cool. It's only been going a few days, but I wanted to announce that. So once again, all you need to do is become a patron for $1 a month, just $1, and then immediately you'll get an invitation to join that chat room. So you'll get the chat room, and you'll also get your podcasts a day early. So if that appeals, head right on over to Patreon. You cannot go to Patreon and search for Ruby Rider or Pegging Paradise because I put out adult material and I am not findable on the search. So you need to go to my website, and in that upper right-hand corner, it says become a patron. Or you can just go to Google and put in Patreon and Ruby Rider or Patreon and Pegging Paradise, and I believe it will take you there. Google will allow the search, but Patreon won't. So there you have it. Hope to see everybody in the chat room. The more the merrier. And the last, long-awaited announcement is the webinar. I am indeed going to have a webinar, and the date for this webinar is going to be next week. This is a trial webinar. I'm finding out how to use this. There may be some hiccups here and there. So literally, it is $5 to go to this webinar teaching the basics of pegging. Okay, this is like a beginner's pegging class. And it's only $5 because it's my first webinar, and probably there'll be some scrambling around and trying to make things work. So this webinar is going to be next week on Wednesday, March 14th at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time, which is UTC minus 7. So I'm California, I'm on the West Coast. So for you East Coasters, it'll be 9. And for people other places in the world, I will eventually be scheduling ones more to your liking. I can do them early in the morning, so for you, it'll be later in the evening. You're like if you're in the UK or somewhere like that. So that's what's happening. But this first one, I'm going to limit it to, I think, I'm not sure, 5 or 6 people, because it's a beginning thing. So if you want it, jump on it. And there will be a link on the blog to take you to an Eventbrite sign in for the $5. And as soon as you sign up, I'll send you the invite for Zoom. And we'll start doing the webinars. And there you go. So the very first one, Wednesday, March 14th, 6 p.m. And if you can't make that, please shoot me an email and let me know what your time frame is that would be better for you, the time difference between you and me, and when it might work for you. Because I am amenable to scheduling them at a bunch of different times. I want to make it doable for anybody, anywhere in the world. There you have it. So yay, webinars. Okay, we're done for this time. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only, without the kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You could find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, and there are a lot of them in the Linkorama this time, please remember to use that coupon code Ryder and you will get 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too freaky, too flippant, or too fucked up. Many listeners are going to learn along with you. Don't be shy. Throw me those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.